seen it for maybe 15, 20 years. And lo and behold, the local library had a copy. That's the local library is, Southern Oregon State College or something like that. And I picked it up and I was reading it. And then I said, well, I'll look at the front and see when it was drawn out. And it was drawn out once. And that was in 1982. And that's about where Barnard's book would be if it hadn't been for the impact of the Harvard group. At least that's my feeling about it. Mm-hmm. But then, as I said before, Barnard was the first one to pick up the zeitgeist of open systems theory and apply it to organizations, which, in other words, the spirit of the time was right for that to be done, because it was happening all over science, in science. And in about 56, finally, we had the General Systems Society formed in that. That's a long answer, but I don't know if it's a good one. Art, did you want to ask something?
Well, I want you to tell another story for us.
What's that?
Tell us the Goops story.
What story?
The Goops story. G-O-O-P-S. About Lewin's class at Iowa, the summer class at Iowa.
Oh, you mean the Schauber story?
Well, that one's part of it, I think, but I know both.
Are you talking about how Kurt wanted to speak the vernacular?
Well, that one
was... It was Ron Lippitt was having fun with him, and I guess it was Babliss, I forget who it was. But they said, well, if you want to say something's really great, you say he sure slobbered a bibful. Because, you know, he was talking about babies, and then Kurt, there was this big meeting, and Kurt came up after the main speaker, and he said, well, he sure slobbered a bibful. I don't know what the Goops story is.
I remember the story about the summer school class at Iowa, and the students enrolled in the class, and there was no class, essentially, and they didn't recognize that they were part of an experiment. But Lewin kept talking about Goops, and no one in the class could understand what he was talking about.
No, I don't even remember that.
And it was Goops, Goops, Goops. And it finally dawned on them halfway through the term that he was talking about groups. But he couldn't pronounce groups, and it was Goops.
Well, yeah.
And they knew a lot about Goops. But
Kurt had a very heavy Deutsch accent. And it was amazing to me that he wrote very fine English, but he had this, and I remember Hal Levitt saying he was always embarrassed when he was out with Kurt, because here he spoke with this heavy accent, and it made Hal Levitt at the time feel uncomfortable when he was a student. Hmm. But that's another story. So can I say one thing about...
You certainly may.
You know, you're studying the history of management thought there. And I've devoted a lot of my life to trying to understand what it's all about. And what I've come away with is the fact that there are management processes, but the way the thought evolves in the literature is always based on the environmental influences, the spirit of the times, what's going on, the zeitgeist. But the processes are always just, you know, organization, direction, control, and leadership. And the real question is, how do you organize, direct, and control, and lead? And that's a function of technology, culture, and other things. So what I've ended up with is a diagnostic approach. I sent your friend, what's his name?
Achilles?
Achilles, yeah. A little monograph, which really shouldn't, on organizational diagnostics. Because what the students should be learning is how to think, and how to see, and how to relate, and how to put it all together so they can go in any organization and really immediately diagnose what the managerial requirements are in that setting. And the theories of management try to paint these broad, glittering generalities, or either that, or they're studying minute things like time study or scientific management, which gets highly technical. In that period, it made sense. It doesn't make any sense today. Like, when I was in Japan last, I was working for Kyocera. And I walked in a plant, and I'm an industrial engineer. I ran factories back in the 40s. I managed a couple factories we had, and then I also ran the industrial engineering. We had seven factories. I couldn't make heads or tails out of what was going on because all I saw was were things moving and everything was controlled by computer. When the software was running the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some work just this summer on global management for Anderson International. And it forced me to go in and really start thinking. And my God, at the rate of technological change, there will not be any work for middle manager or management or lesser skilled managers in another 20 years. It's all going to be completely automated.
Well, the world's changing.
Well, yeah, but think what that means. There will be no jobs. Look what's happened in the last 15 or 20 years. Every major company I've been in touch with has cut back 20,000 to 30,000 employees.
And higher education's next, I'm afraid.
Well, but the only way out is through higher education. The industrial base will produce the goods without jobs. And therefore, we have to get into a whole new framework, and the main one is education. And instead, we're cutting it out. But on the other side, what happened, and this I'll quit when I get, what I came up with is that in almost every major industry today, these transnational companies are taking over. In every, in the drug industry, there are about seven or eight companies that are transnational. And the only way you can survive today is by being bought out, because you can't compete. In paper, any industry, you'll see this trend. But these are supranationals. They are above national boundaries. They're global companies.
You have been awful kind to spend some time with us, particularly since you're on vacation.
Yeah, well, I'm not on vacation. I'm retired. Anyway, that's enough. But I think, I wanted to get people, get you. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. Don't worry. I mean, apolitical. But anyway, these trends are both going on, and I think students like yours should be alert, studying, thinking, trying to come to grips with this. It's their world. Okay, Art, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, you're excellent. I can't thank you enough for taking time out.
It's my life.
Oh, you're wonderful. I wish you well.
Well, and thank you. I'll probably see you in Cincinnati.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, Art.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.